That was breaking news on last night's Pat Narduzzi show. Pat going to join us in a half hour or just after at 2:35 today on this show. Eli Holstein's going to go. You know what? I'll be honest with you. I'll take you behind the curtain here on the PM team. Donnie Football over there. Chris Muller over here. Andrew Filippone enjoying a little bye week time off. I have a sheet. I'll hold it up here. Look, there's a bunch of writing on it. There's a bunch of little factoids. There's stats. There's little bits and pieces of information. That's how this business works. Once in a while, back in the old days, I would just come on the air with absolutely nothing prepped at 10 p.m. at night or at 2 a.m. and I would wing it. You got to do a little bit more work than that if you're on in the afternoon, which I do. But Donnie was expecting that we were going to talk Steelers to start today's show. Just get a little Steelers halfway point thought out there on paper into the ether. Wrong. I thought about it, Donnie. What is this job all about? It's about entertainment, but what is it about when it comes to topics? It's figuring out what the people are into right now. What is there to get into right now with the Steelers? They're all relaxing. They're taking a long weekend. They're enjoying the fruits of a 6-2 start on their bye week. You know what is happening, though? Pitt is playing at 8 o'clock Saturday night in front of what I think will be about 35,000. It's one of those nice little on-campus type of joints at Southern Methodist. Pitt is playing what I would call the most consequential game they have played in decades. They are playing their biggest game since probably the early 80s. 17th ranked Pitt, 20th ranked SMU. Pitt is 7-0. If Pitt wins, suddenly the path to the previously inconceivable starts to look more and more plausible. Not only that, 8 hours earlier, you will have Penn State playing the old boogeyman yet again, Donnie's guys, the boys from Columbus. The Fighting Johnny the Barbers. Penn State, Ohio State, 3 hosting 4, even though 4 is a 3.5-point favorite. Penn State, yes, Pat McAfee, a home dog in this game. You'll have Penn State trying to land a kill shot to Ohio State at this in this matchup. Ohio State loses again, they're pretty much on life support, even though it'd be 2 high-quality losses. That would be just about all for them. Penn State wins, you can pretty much pencil them, put them in an ink into the college football playoff. Not only that, they would have done so while vanquishing the team that has often stood in front of them and in their way to get to the old 4-team college football playoff. So if part of this job and part of what we do is to take the temperature of what is actually happening, what is actually relevant to people, what is probably on people's minds in one form or fashion, I would be doing a disservice to what we do for a living to start, at least, by talking about a team that won't be playing a game again until next Sunday. Not even this one. You'll be knee-deep into regular time where it's getting dark at 5 o'clock the next time the Steelers play. This is, I would argue without exaggeration, one of the biggest college football Saturdays for fans generally in this region that I can remember. You could talk about Pitt playing West Virginia as a big day in the college football landscape when it was 13-9 and West Virginia had everything in front of them, had a trip to the national title game on the line and so forth. But this is two teams, one of whom we expected to be in this position. The other, I think even the most ardent Pitt believers did not think would be here. Both gunning to stay unbeaten. In Penn State's case, to make it almost assured that they get to the playoff. And in Pitt's case, to dramatically uptick their chances. And I am curious, not if you're interested, because I don't like to ask the are you interested question, but to what degree, like, does this move the needle for you? Does it have that big game feel to it, that big day feel? When the Steelers would play the Ravens back in the day, I used to just come on the air and talk about Ravens week, baby, and we'd go on and on and on about how much you hated Baltimore, you hated John Harbaugh, and you know everything about that team bothered the heck out of you, whatever. I'm wondering if people understand that this is a huge deal right now. Like, I'm wondering if it's sunk in to this degree. Pitt wins this game, it would be, I think, by most measures, their best win of the year. Taking down a team that's ranked in the top 20, that's favored over them in this game. Suddenly, you're 8-0. You would have to, I think, jump several more spots in the polls. You become a top 15 team if you win this game. You probably sneak up closer to the top 10. And then you start dreaming big, I think, if you're a Pitt fan. Then you start thinking, you don't say like college football playoff and whisper it in hushed tones. You start saying like, we're going to handle Virginia. That's at home. They're not that good. We're going to be 9-0. Now it's Clemson, and guess what? Everything's on the table. Battle of two teams that'll probably be ranked in similar spots if Pitt rolls in there undefeated and Clemson holds serve till then. And then you go Louisville, Boston College. Louisville's tough. Boston College should not be that tough. But you'd have proof of concept that, like, wow, this team is actually handling their business right now. I can start to believe that something crazy might be about to happen. I'm wondering if that's really registering for Pitt fans yet. I'm wondering if you're a Pitt fan like I've been pretty much my whole adult life and then several years way back, mid-90s. Let's say 12-year-old Mulsey, 13-year-old Mulsey started getting into the Pistol Pete Gonzalez team in 97 and never looked back through all the ups and downs, mostly downs. I'm wondering if it's registering yet for Pitt fans, if you're allowing yourself to enjoy this and to expect big things here. They go in as an underdog. SMU's quarterback, I thought, was going to be hurt for this game because I saw a tweet while they were playing last week that he had gone down with what looked like a potentially gruesome knee injury. And then as it happened, his knee apparently held up and he came back into that game. SMU's going to have as close to their full complement as they can get. But, like, we're at the point now where I think I, at least personally, am looking at Pitt and saying, it's okay to think big. It's kind of the way I feel about the Steelers. It's okay to think big for once. Yes, there's five more games. They've only played seven. Like, long road to hoe, I get it. But I am prepared to actually talk about this team as if I expect good things to happen to them. Syracuse was supposed to come in and be a problem, right? Kyle McCord then played the worst game I have ever seen a quarterback play in a big national spotlight type of situation. He pulled a full Peterman, five picks, three of them going back the other way for touchdowns. Pitt passed a test, and their offense barely did anything, and their offense has been their calling card for most of this year. It is a huge Saturday in college football in this town, regardless of which of the two major teams that call this area home for much of their alumni base you root for. It is a massive day. I know Penn State fans have belief because their team's always around this spot in the polls. I wonder if Pitt fans do. 412-928-9370. That's the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. I wonder if Pitt fans have belief. If you're a Pitt fan that is a long-suffering Pitt fan, I want to know if you are actually starting to think maybe we can have nice things. Because when they lost to Western Michigan in the Kenny year, there were big games down the stretch. There was a big showdown with Clemson. But you already knew they had that loss on their ledger. They're unblemished right now. You win out, you're in. Big. You're in easy. You go 12-0, you're getting there. You lose the ACC title game. I think you're still getting there pretty comfortably. Just wondering if Pitt fans are allowing themselves to enjoy it right now. To believe that something like this can actually happen. Donnie, I'm wondering too with you, because we'll get to the phones here coming up next. I'm wondering if you, I threw you a curveball. I didn't tell you until the show started, basically, what I was about to do. I'm wondering if you have appreciated the gravity of this moment. You technically are rooting for Ohio State tomorrow or on Saturday. You've been a Buckeyes fan. You're like a little Johnny the Barber acolyte here. But this is a huge, I mean, we haven't had a day like this where the two main teams in this area are undefeated this late in the season in a very, very long time. And it just hit me before the show. I'm like, yeah, I want to talk Steelers. There's Steelers stuff to get into today for sure. But like, holy crap, this is actually happening. Usually by this point on the calendar, I am like semi-tuned out of college football because I kind of know where Penn State is, and Pitt usually has a loss or two. Let's just be honest. They might be 5-2, but you know they're not playing for anything. They'd have to go to the ACC title game and win it, and usually at that point it would feel like a major upset.
Yeah, now usually, like you said, Penn State is commonly in a spot similar to this. Maybe they already have a loss on their schedule. I don't know. Maybe they played Michigan or they got tripped up by somebody else. It's more often than not when they play Ohio State, it is a big game. It's a big deal. So that's not a ton different, at least I don't think, for Penn State fans in the area. And for any Ohio State fans in the area, they know that their team is in this spot pretty much every single year where they either have zero or one losses and they're trying to get their way to the college football playoff. For Pitt, a much different story. Now, a couple of years ago, the Kenny Pickett year, which you referenced, that was a lot of fun, but Pitt already had one loss. They'd eventually have a second loss that would kind of spoil the season a bit, even though they won the ACC. This is really the first moment, though, because you've seen and heard people who have doubted Pitt, and it's kind of funny since both of the football teams that we talk about the most, the Steelers and the Pitt Panthers, they're basically in similar spots where they've had really good starts and nobody wants to believe that they are any good. And we've just been waiting and waiting and waiting. Well, when's Pitt going to play a real team? This is the time where if Pitt goes in, if they go into SMU and they win that game, people that have doubted, people that have hated, whatever category you want to put that in, they have to accept, okay, maybe Pitt's the real deal. And if they win this game, I said this last week with Joe, if Pitt wins tomorrow, my confidence is going through the roof on them taking care of business the rest of the way. I think this is their toughest game left. I think they will beat Clemson in a couple of weeks.
I'm not sure I'm ready to say that just because Clemson's won six in a row and the only team to beat them is a juggernaut Georgia team. But there's three teams right now with a better ACC record than Pitt because they've played more games. One's Clemson, one's Miami, and one's the team they're going to see, SMU. You pick them off, guess what? Now you only got two ahead of you. You pick off the other one that's ahead of you, and you handle your business. Always a kind of a bugaboo with Pitt. You handle your other business. You will find yourself in truly uncharted territory. And I'm wondering if Pitt fans are allowing themselves to believe. Pat Narduzzi joins the show in 15 minutes. Very excited to talk about a man whose stock is continuing to rise, who's undefeated Pitt Panthers. It does sound weird to say that, who's 7-0 Pitt Panthers, 17th ranked, head to SMU to take on a 7-1 Mustangs team Saturday night. Man, I love, by the way, Donnie, before we do anything else, we'll get to the phones here in a second on this one. I love that that game is in primetime, one way or another, because it'll have my undivided attention. I will throw the quad box on. I have the boys that all day Saturday because Alex is working, so I'm on, you know, single parent duty for 12 hours, which is fine. We're going to go nuts and play and be stupid. But I'll have like the quad boxes on multiple TVs and just be walking in and out of games. But once 8 o'clock hits, my appetite for that tends to go away. And I will put Pitt on and that will have the undivided attention. I'll even go so much to say this. I think it sucks for Penn State that Fox does the big noon kickoff stuff. I think this game would be much better for them if it were at night. I do not like the fact that they're playing host to the best team they've seen all year and they've got to play it at noon.
Yeah, I have a take about big noon kickoff. I think it sucks.
I think it totally sucks. I hate it.
Because whether or not you're even a fan of Penn State, and I know neither of us are, that game should be played no sooner than 7:30 p.m. Like, that should be Penn State's whiteout game. It should be under the lights in Happy Valley. Like, you want to have the best atmosphere possible. You're simply not getting that at noon.
Noon games, the only game that I always thought of should always have been played at noon was Michigan-Ohio State, because it traditionally was. They moved it once or twice to like a 3:30 kick when it was Troy Smith's team and it was one versus two. Yeah, they moved it to 3:30, I think, and it was cool because it got dark at the Big House and everything. But, man, otherwise, that's the only game that I think traditionally ever had the juice at noon. Otherwise, I can't get into it. 3:30 is better. And I think 3:30 might be the perfect time for a lot of these games, but for Penn State, Ohio State, they should be playing at 7:30. I think it's actually going to hurt Penn State in this game that it's like a sleepy noon crowd. Let's go to the phones. Talking a huge weekend, one of the biggest weekends. You know what? This late in the year, it's the biggest weekend in my lifetime in college football locally here, with Penn State and Pitt both undefeated, both facing ranked opponents. If you're a Pitt fan, you're finally letting yourself believe a little bit that this might actually keep going. Chris is in Indiana. Hey, Chris.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. You have to believe, man. This Pitt team is undefeated, actually fighting for a position to go up ahead. It's nice and refreshing that a Pitt team is actually fighting not just to stay alive, but to actually get ahead and do something. I think they can go to college football. They've won the close games. They've won blowout games. They've done it all. It'd be a shame if they lose this one.
I think the reason I'm asking is, I think if you're a program that has greater tradition recently than Pitt does, if you're even the team that they'll see in a couple of weeks in Clemson, and you're used to winning big and playing in big games, I think honestly, even if you're Penn State and it hasn't gone your way, but you're very used to playing in big games, I think there's a certain comfort with days like this or with games like this. We're not going to get our doors blown off. We might not win. Penn State's probably biggest complaint about James Franklin is that he hasn't really won any of these kinds of games. But we're going to be in the game. We're going to have a chance to win the game. And I think with Pitt, there's at least, maybe I'm speaking for myself and not that many Pitt fans, who knows. There's always that part in the back of my mind, like, what if they just come out flat and SMU is all over them? SMU's only been beaten by BYU, and BYU's top 10 team. And they only lost by 3. It's a quality opponent. It's the kind of team that if Pitt's off their game, they could find themselves down big and quick. Rod is on 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Rod.
I've been a Pitt fan since Danny Marino, Hugh Green days. I never got off the bandwagon. But the offense, even though it ain't going good right now, it's still firing. It's still getting touchdowns.
Well, it isn't going good because the defense scored 21 points last game. The offense couldn't even get on the field.
That's what I was about to say. Even though the defense only brought 2 starters back, the defense is finally catching up. So I think it's all arrows up. And Clemson better be looking out for Pitt.
I think the thing that makes Pitt really dangerous right now, and the reason that I am feeling better about them than I probably would have admitted to feeling, it does seem like now with what they did to Syracuse that their defense is in a position where it can win them games. Actually, when you take the last 2, the defense won them the Cal game when the offense couldn't get anything going, and that's against the worst team in the ACC, at least by conference record. Cal hasn't won a game yet. To see their defense actually rise up and win them that game, I thought was a pretty significant moment, and one that foretold, kind of didn't foretell what was actually going to happen, but suggested maybe they were ready to carry their weight a little bit more instead of just getting stops for Pitt during comeback victories. And then when they did what they did to Syracuse, I think suddenly you feel like this is a full three-dimensional football team. This isn't the offense carrying the load, or this isn't a year where the defense is keeping them in games and the offense can't do anything. Like, it seems like they are variable and multiple in their ways that they can beat you. Sean is on 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call. Long-time Pitt fan, okay, but I have, my youngest daughter goes to Clemson. So I've had the opportunity to see both teams play, and Donnie said that he thinks that they can beat Clemson. I'm just curious, and I agree with a lot of what Donnie says and you guys say, but have you ever seen Clemson play in person or on TV? Because you can't base it off what you saw against Georgia.
No, they got dudes, man. They have dudes most every year at Clemson.
I mean, I'm optimistic for Pitt. I think they should beat SMU, but like, if the Clemson game is close at halftime, I'm going to have some serious optimism on what they can do. That's all I'm saying, because I still think that Clemson's probably a step. Yeah, they beat them a few years ago, but I still think they're like a little bit of a tier above them right now. I just think they have way too much talent.
They are a tier above them in talent, and then Georgia's several tiers above them because there are levels to this. I think they're a little bit of a tier above Pitt, but I don't think it's so much of a talent gap now, especially because Dabo won't use the portal. They don't have a single portal guy on their team. He claims that that's just coincidence. They haven't found anybody that's the right fit. Sure it is, buddy. I don't think you necessarily are going to run into there an overwhelming amount of talent. If Pitt were playing Georgia in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and that was the game we were talking about, I'd be like, boys, you better stack every other win because that one you can pretty much just chalk up. It's just Georgia's Georgia or whatever. But Clemson doesn't quite have that fear factor for me. I know that top to bottom, they're getting better recruits, et cetera, but I don't think the disparity in roster ability and in talent is so dramatic that you just, you take what I would call a little bit of a fatalistic, like, warning tone there, like Sean did. That's how I would kind of phrase it. I think to set the scene for this interview with Pat Narduzzi here on a very spooky Halloween Thursday, it would probably be best if I prepared you with a little light reading. October 24th, 2024, the following tweet went out. Pitt fans, this is the man who will break your heart tonight. Kyle McCord, the best pocket quarterback in America. Unfortunately, he will lead the Orange to his first win in Pittsburgh since 2001. Score, Syracuse 31, Pitt 30. That was Andrew Filippone a week ago. Need I remind you, this is what happened.
Looks left, fires left, the pass intercepted up the sideline, comes a man with the football, and that is Rashad Files for a pick six.
And then this happened.
Looks left, fires.
Whoops, hold on, let's go with this one. I get mixed up with all the pick sixes.
Back is McCord, throws that pass. Intercepted with the football running down the field left side. He's into the end zone for the second pick six of the day.
This is unbelievable.
Wow.
And it got more unbelievable because this then happened.
He wants to throw it on first down. Middle screen, it's intercepted on a tip. The Panthers have it. A trifecta of pick sixes for the Pitt Panthers in this game.
And now we welcome on the man whose defense was the architect of that terrifying performance by Kyle McCord. That would, of course, be Pitt head coach Pat Narduzzi. Pat, I think the last time we spoke, you were munching on a Snickers bar in the office. Do you have a Snickers again today for good luck?
I got no Snickers, but maybe I need to get a Snickers bar for sure.
I think we might have to do that. Now, in other ways that we could help goose things in your favor for Saturday night, do you want me to make sure Pony sends out a tweet predicting an SMU victory before the game?
Can you please get that done? From everything I've been told, you know, whatever he predicts, the opposite happens. So please let that be done. We'd appreciate it.
He is a spectacular, whatever he says, whatever he puts out there, it's the kiss of death for what he actually thinks is going to happen. So I will make sure that we get an SMU victory prediction for him. It's the best thing that could happen, you guys. I want to start with that Syracuse game briefly. You revamped and had new personnel to start this year on a lot of that defense. I think, what was it, two returning starters? You can correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, but you were remaking a lot of your defense this year. And I'm wondering if you had any idea that it would be that these linebackers specifically would be as impactful as they have been.
Yeah, we knew it. You know, we knew Kyle Lewis was a dude in spring ball. Matter of fact, you know, after spring ball was over, talking to some of the guys, you know, I told some of the linebackers that, you know, the best linebacker on our football team was Kyle Lewis. You know, I said that to linebackers, you know, in one-on-one meetings in my office. So that's the guy. And again, you know, Rasheem Biles is right behind him, okay, if not in front of him. Who knows? I take both of those guys. Those two are dudes, you know, both playing at a high level. And so is Braylon Lovelace. You know, again, all three of those guys had those pick sixes. But, you know, even the week before, I mean, Lovelace had a heck of a game the week before as well when Biles was hurt. So, you know, Kyle's made every game. He's healthy. And he plays like a beast all the time.
Pat, when you have linebackers that are able to do what those guys do as a defensive, you know, minded guy or a guy who's been on the defensive side of the ball for the majority of your career, what does that allow you to do with the rest of your defense? What kind of things does that free you up to feel good about doing schematically and everything else?
Well, you still got to go defend everybody, but, you know, you want to have athletic linebackers. You know, we look for guys that are athletic that play tailback. I mean, Carlos played tailback and carried the ball in high school. So did Lovelace. And I'm not sure if I don't remember if Biles did or not, but, you know, just athletic guys, that's what we're looking for. And I think, you know, when you got athletic, physical playmakers, I mean, you can have guys that can run, but if they're not playmakers like those guys have been, you know, Coach Manlack does a great job coaching those linebackers. I give him the credit, you know, and obviously Randy Bates is the defense coordinator, but they do an outstanding job of coaching them up, getting them ready for game days. And he certainly did a great job last Thursday night.
Pitt head coach Pat Narduzzi appearing right now on the fan hotline. That's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Pony did tell us, by the way, Pat, that he was taking a couple days off during the Steelers' bye week, but my thought is actually that he probably was too embarrassed to talk to you after that tweet, and so he just couldn't come on the air today because of that, and he decided to take multiple days off, in case you were wondering. We think his tail was buried so far between his legs he couldn't bring himself to actually address you after what he said about that Syracuse game.
Yeah. No doubt, Chris. I mean, you know, we're going to have Yule back on the sideline for like a spring game here soon, but, you know, he's not invited anymore. You know, I'm just kidding.
Thank you. You don't even have to say just kidding. We'll make him sweat it a little bit. When you look at SMU, what are the challenges you see, and what's going to be paramount for your team to stop to get the win Saturday night?
Well, the first thing is, you know, is we got to go out and execute. So, you know, the first thing is it's about Pitt and what we do, not about who they are. But certainly, you know, you worry about what they do, and they've got great players as well. But we better just take care of our business. You know, but the first thing you think about is, you know, it's a road trip. You know, so we got to be detailed on the road, you know, business trip down there. You know, weather doesn't look to be very good down in Dallas right now. Doesn't look like it's going to be, a nice, clear Pittsburgh day down there like we have up here all the time. So rain will be an issue, it sounds like. Maybe some even thunderstorms and delays. Who knows? But we'll be mentally prepared for everything that comes at us that night, and we got to go out and execute again against a top 20 team, a 7-1 football team that gets to play at home for the first time in I think 3 games. So they're going to be hungry to be at home. It's homecoming, where they're homecoming, the team to come in and get a W. So all those things. They run the ball well. They stop the run well. That's the first, element of a good football team is the success they've had on both sides of the ball running it.
Pat, this is a strange question to ask after you guys won by 28 points, but, like, did you feel that your offense got enough work and enough reps in that game against Syracuse, since it was such a strange game and how it played out and how you were scoring points for much of it?
No doubt. I mean, they were kind of upset. They wanted to go play another game afterwards. They felt like they got ripped off. They got ripped off a lot there. They had a total, I think, of 46 graded reps, and defensively, I think we had 102 graded reps. So defense is on the field twice as long. Hopefully that just makes them a little bit fresher for this weekend as we head down to Dallas.
How are you keeping things level and in perspective? Because I know Pitt fans are excited. This is uncharted territory for people that weren't around in the early 80s watching this team this late into a season be unbeaten. So what are you doing? Which of your players are you relying on, team leaders to keep things level-headed? How are you handling all this, Pat?
It's just treating each week, as a new week, and that's all you focus on is that week. And I think, we've done that since game one, and we'll continue to do that when we get to game 12 and whatever happens after that. So it's just, keeping the main thing, and the main thing is SMU. You know, what we've done in the past doesn't really matter. I'm sick of hearing about sharks and interceptions for touchdowns, to be honest with you. I want to make new memories, this Saturday night at 8:00, at Dallas and SMU. So, we're just working on the next. I mean, nobody cares what you want to do, where you want to go. The only place we're going is to Dallas and worried about that one game. If our kids start to think about something else, then we got problems. But, it's a constant focus on today. Today we just got done with the Thursday practice. That was the focus. Okay, now we can worry about tomorrow, which is a travel day and meetings and walkthroughs. So just one day at a time.
Last one for you, Pat, and always appreciate the chance to talk with you. Was reading the story on Yahoo just about kind of the hard questions you had to ask of yourself and the program after last year and the hard decisions you had to make and, blowing out a lot of the coaching staff, bringing in new coaches, new way of doing things. I know it's 7 games in, and I know you are a one game at a time guy, but coming off of 3-9 and having already doubled that win total, being where you are right now, how gratifying is it for you to see the changes that I'm sure weren't easy to make in some ways pay off to the degree that they have thus far for this program right now?
You know what? Those are tough decisions that the head coach gets to make, and they're no fun. As you said, not a one of the decisions you make is fun. Nothing that anybody really wants to do. But, it's gratifying when you see what we've done this year with the breath of fresh air, as far as just a new offense, and it's been fun to watch. And like I said, though, but I'm looking forward to you know, watch them Saturday, watch you guys go out and put on a show down in Dallas and see if they can do it again. See if they can go execute for 60 minutes, one play at a time is going to be the key.
And a healthy Eli Holstein to lead them. I wish you would have waited till today to break that news with me, Pat, but I was very glad, like all Pitt fans were, to hear that yesterday on your show.
Yeah, I was too excited to wait, you know.
No gamesmanship. You just
show.
Said, here he is. Come and try to stop him on Saturday. That's what you did.
Yeah, well, you know, as soon as I found out about 4:15 from the trainer, Chris Hanks, and I was excited that it finally got cleared and had to spill it. I probably can't keep a good secret.
Pat Narduzzi, we appreciate it as always, Pat. Best of luck Saturday, and we'll talk again soon. Make sure EJ Borghetti finds you a mini Snickers bar at least, so that this can be one of those good luck interviews.
I'm gonna go get one right now, and you make sure Andrew picks SMU. If you make sure that, I'll get the Snickers. You take care of Andrew, okay?
Done and done. Thanks, Pat.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.